RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Since 1988, Whitetail Institute has been perfecting annual and perennial seed products specifically for hunters who plant food plots. Their seeds have been engineered to be palatable, high in protein, and extremely attractive to deer. Whether you live in the Deep South or Midwest farm country, they have products that will help you grow your best food plot yet. For more information about their seeds and their blends, visit whitetailinstitute.com. Enter the discount code SE15 for 15% off. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Hunting Gear Podcast. I am your host, Dan Johnson, and today is all about Montana Decoy, and our special guest today is CJ Davis. CJ, how are we doing, man?
And I'm doing great, Dan. Good to visit with you again. How are things in your world?
The first week of school has been crazy. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Getting back into the fall schedule of multiple sports and three kids needing to be in different places almost on a daily basis. The kids got thrown back into school and me and my wife got thrown back into juggling schedules. And, you know how it is. It's there. So you deal with it.
I don't know how you parents do it that have more than one. We've got just one and he is now able to drive himself everywhere. So the load of shuttling is off of us now, which you kind of miss a little bit, but at the same time, it's nice too. So,
yeah, I'll tell you this. Don't take offense to this. Okay. I know people who will, there's two types of people in this world. Mm-hmm. There's people with no kids and there's people with multiple kids. Right. And so one thing that really pisses me off, CJ, is when there's a family that has chosen maybe not to have kids and they instead have like three dogs or something like that. And they're like, and I'll tell a story. It's like, oh, bedtime was absolutely horrible tonight. You know, I had to like juggle three kids and my wife was juggling three kids and we were trying to, and then the dog owners go like, I know exactly what you mean. And I'm like, shut up before I punch you. You have no clue. You have no clue. and so then we have like some mutual friends who have, you know, only one kid and they're just like, oh, today was rough. And I'm like, I'm so calloused by having three kids that I'm not even going to respond to you right now. Like, I am one giant callus of a dad who has seen it all, who's been through almost all of it. And I'm just like, yeah, okay. All right, buddy. You know, like,
yeah, I'm sure it's tough for you, little fella.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So
that's smart enough to keep my mouth shut in those situations.
It's all good though. Right. Yeah, and so, yeah. So that's the kind of stuff that, you know, we deal with, we've dealt with this week. Just it's like chaos, the new schedules and stuff like that. And how old's your boy?
He's 16.
Okay. So he's a, what, sophomore in high school?
He's a, yeah, no, junior. Sorry. Junior. Golly, how did I not remember that? Junior. Yeah. Yeah,
junior.
Yeah.
Okay. Junior high
school. He'll turn 17 here in a couple of months. So.
Sports?
Yeah, he's we got a football game tonight. Nice. Always get excited about that. And he plays basketball too. So
okay. Friday Night Lights. Is it a big school?
Yeah. No, it's a little small school out here in rural South Carolina.
Okay, perfect. And I'll tell you this, man, I absolutely love watching my kids play sports. I don't know what it is. Even if they're not that good at it, it's just so much fun. I love going to games.
100%.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure I don't get more excited than he does. And like when he first started playing middle school football, like I would get up at freaking 5:30 in the morning and I'm yelling, "Let's go!" throughout the whole house. My wife is throwing stuff at me, but I am just like super jacked. So I've toned that down a little bit. I'm not the idiot dad running down the side of the fence while he's running by or something like that anymore. I had to learn to tone that down mostly through the caring, but very diligent instruction of my wife.
Exactly. You got to calm down.
You look like an idiot.
Yeah. So my favorite, there was one time when it was like, man, I can't remember what sport it, I think she's probably done it multiple times. Right. And there was a baseball game where there was a lull in that kind of the noise of the game. Right. And I'm walking up to bat. I got moved up to an older age class. My mom's nervous. I'm kind of nervous. And there's a lull in the action. And my mom screams, "No matter what happens, we love you, Daniel." And I'm just like, "Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?" Like, you know how embarrassed it is? Like, and then of course all my buddies are like, "We love you, Daniel. We love you."
My wife would do that to our son just to mess with him.
Oh, okay.
Like, she's that kind of gal. So, yeah. Oh man, that's rough on a teenage boy.
Yeah. And then I could hear my mom in football games screaming over the crowd. Like, I'm just like, oh my God. And there was like only one or two kids on the team who knew it was my mom just because they hung out with me and at home. And they're just like, "Oh, we love you, Daniel."
That's so awesome.
That's my mom.
Do you remember if you got a hit on that first at bat or what happened? Okay.
So when they brought me into the game, I did get a hit off this kid, and it went like, it was a single over the pitcher's head, right, like dropped right in the gap between, it bounced right before center field. Right. Yeah. So I got the gapper right there, the blooper into the, and I made the base, and I couldn't hear her saying anything, but I could hear her clapping.
Yeah.
Like, wow. Like, just like this power clap. And I'm like, "God, mom, just go to the car." And my dad, he was probably, I mean, my parents were divorced by that time, but my dad, I'm sure, was also really embarrassed about that as well. Yeah. So, but now you look back at that and laugh, right?
Yeah, it's a great story, Dad.
Exactly. So,
but back then you would have traded anything to make that go away, probably.
Yeah, exactly. But now you look at it and you're like, "Hey, at least I got the hit." So maybe it was mom building my confidence for that hit, you know?
Yeah, that was a little of that good mom luck coming out there.
Yep, absolutely. All right. Before we get into the meat and potatoes of Montana Decoy today, I am going to do a quick ad read here for Reveal trail cameras. Now, I recently got the Reveal Ultra and I put batteries in it, and I was in the tailgate of my truck, and I timed myself on my phone how long it took me to
put the batteries in the camera, scan the QR code, and connect the battery or the camera to the app to get it started. And I, even though I dropped one AA battery on the ground, I had to bend over and pick it up. It took me 4 minutes and 32 seconds to set up one camera. CJ, do you remember your first cell camera and how long it took to set up?
Oh man, it feels like I just finished it. That's how long it took. Yeah.
Like, and there were some talk that about took
trying
like
to get it to sync.
Yeah, multiple hours with all of the SD card, like the SIM card, and then having to go to a Verizon store or whatever the case was, and then you get out there and the battery's drained instantly. Oh, just a horrible. So we've come a long way. We've come a long way in the cell cam world, especially the Reveal trail cameras. Those are a badass trail camera, very easy to use. The Ultra, is badass. The functionality through the app and the app itself is just, very user friendly. And so go to tacticam.com/cameras and check out the new Ultra and last year's 3.0 versions of those cameras. If you don't follow the Nine Finger Chronicles on Instagram, I do something called cell cam check-ins, where I will post a really cool and unique picture from however, you know, many days. Sometimes it's multiple times a day. Sometimes it's one day, but this morning when I woke up, I had a really good buck on camera. So I posted a cell cam check-in. Go check those out on my Instagram page. So. It's
hey, on your cameras, are you running video or stills mostly? Is there a breakdown?
I've never been the one to run video, but because I will say this morning I had a buck standing in front of my camera. So I tried to change it to video, and there's a certain period of time it takes for that to go switch settings remotely and then come back. Mm-hmm. And now you're recording video. So I'm trying to, I've changed the setting. So here pretty soon I should start getting some videos sent to my phone. I want to see some movement.
And your bucks that you're getting pictures of right now, they still in velvet or are they hard horn?
I have one that is hard horn. There's two so far that I've seen that are hard horn. The big one is still in velvet.
Man, I got up this morning and, you know, I'm in South Carolina. I'm not comparing my rack sizes to yours by any stretch, but the bigger deer that I had on camera, he's hard horned. And I had a couple of small ones that were hard horned as well already, where yesterday, the stuff I got yesterday was, they were all in velvet, not those exact deer, but the deer I did get him were in velvet. Right. It's always interesting. It's like that switch flips and it's gone.
Oh, and gone. Absolutely gone. And it's one of my favorite times of year because it shifts the deer around and all this. Mm. I will show you right now what I'm dealing with here in Iowa, if I can find it. Here he is.
Remember, I saw that map behind you, so I know where we're talking about.
Exactly. See that guy?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one to deal with, as you said. Yeah,
and he's got a little kicker off the left main beam there, so it kind of scoops up.
Kind of like a mini G2.
Exactly. And so that kind of comes out the front of his head and comes up like a elk frontal. Yeah, so I killed another deer 2 years ago with that same type of characteristic. So that's pretty...
Same side?
Opposite side. So
interesting.
Here's the other picture of him I'll show you. You can kind of see he's on...
Go the other way. There you go. Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You see, I always got that kicker. And so, as of right now, he is on the hit list and, I'll be going after him hopefully in late October, early November. So I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. I'm happy with him. I'm getting excited for all of that stuff. Let's see, Montana Decoy. What's your role at Montana Decoy?
I am the president and chief bottle washer at Montana Decoy.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Chief bottle washer. What's that mean? Like you're working with a lot of babies?
A little bit of everything, whatever it takes. The original founder, Jerry McPherson, is still heavily involved. And he and I always joke that he sold the company just so he wouldn't have to do the crap he didn't want to do anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's what I have to do. So he gets to do all the fun stuff and I go do all the crap stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, which is cool, because I'll tell you this, from a business standpoint, it's always awesome to continue to involve the previous owners of the company, and for no other reason other than they built it. And when a company gets sold, and dude, I've seen it so many times in this industry, the company gets sold, the original owner is gone, and then the product and the vibe of the company changes. And then a lot of people like myself, I look at that and I'm just like, damn, like it's not the same. It's just not the same. Especially when back in the day, I used to be able to call a company and I'd be like, I go, hey, this is Dan Jha. Dan, what's going on, dude? What are you doing? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, hey, I got this issue with it. Here, do that. Boom, done. It's the owner of the company that I just had a conversation with. He fixed my problem immediately. And that type of customer service almost feels like it's going away.
See, I look at that as that's an opportunity for Montana Decoy, because we want Jerry involved. I don't want Jerry to ever go away. If Jerry goes away, I might go away. I mean, you know, that's just the way it's synonymous to me for him to be a part of the company. And I agree with everything you're saying.
Yep.
And that customer service, we're not part of a huge conglomeration or anything like that. So we still have the opportunity to do that customer service. And, you know, some guy just got on his first elk hunt and he realized he left his decoy leg poles at home or something. Mm-hmm. You know, he calls us. We want to send them to him. We want to do the right thing because, you know, we've all been in that spot.
Right.
And that's a lot of chatter from a lot of companies, but we really do try to live that. And I'm not saying we're perfect. We still mess stuff up, but we try to make it right when we do.
But I think people understand that, right? The culture of the company is almost, I would say, equally as important as the product itself, right?
Agree with that,
And so it's like, hey, dude, I am so sorry we messed up your order, but we're gonna get you some expedited shipping. We're gonna get you the right order at your door as soon as humanly possible, or whatever the case may be, right? And so, good people always win, and that makes good products, man. And so, I love working with those types of companies for sure.
I agree with you, man.
Yep.
I agree with you.
How long have you been working with Montana Decoy?
So, getting back into the weeds with my history, I used to work at Mossy Oak. Mm-hmm. And while I was there, I kind of met Jerry and his daughter, Ashley. And we did, like, you know, I say we did some rider hunts together. They sent me some product when we were taking some riders hunting. This was before podcasters even existed. I'm that old.
Yep.
And then I went to work for Chevalier Advertising, and we started doing a little bit of PR work for Montana Decoy when Jerry still owned it. But I actually got involved as, like, my day-to-day working for Montana Decoy when I left the agency. That was in 2012.
Okay. All right. So you've been there for a minute with Montana for a while. So that's cool, man. When you first started, how old is that company? How many years has Montana Decoy been a company?
Jerry started it in 96.
96. Okay. So
based out of a little town in Montana called Colstrip.
Okay. So knocking on 30 years of a company. And so that brings it to, like, another level. You know what I mean? Like, some of these really popular companies in the hunting industry, maybe they've been there 10 or less, and they haven't gone through some of the trials and tribulations that throughout the hunting industry, like other companies knocking on 30 years. I mean, you're looking at, like, a brand potentially becoming iconic because of just the amount of time it's been been around.
You heard it here. Dan Johnson says we're iconic.
Iconic. Montana Decoy. Iconic.
I like it.
What decoy did it start with?
It started with an elk decoy, and a lot of the stuff that Jerry hunts around where he lives is fairly open stuff. It's coal strip. And this irritates me, and I pick on him a lot, but it is a coal mining area, right? That's what started it. So coal strip should be spelled C-O-A-L-S-T-R-I-P, but they take the A out of that. So I pick on him all the time because they can't even spell the name right of his town. But that's where it started. It's fairly open area. And he was, you know, like, going out and hunting all the time. He would call in elk. They would come to a certain, you know, 100 yards away, and they're looking, and they're not seeing anything. And he kept going back to his truck, you know, that, you know how you get, just dejected, you're in them, but you can't close the deal. And he's got one of those things that goes on your windshield of your truck, you know, to keep your dash from getting cracked. And he starts thinking, man, if I can make a decoy that was portable and folded like that. So he goes back, and Jerry's that guy that can build anything. And he takes some old bandsaw blades and some fabric and starts working on something and drawing it up and creates this crude elk decoy that actually works for him. So that really was what started the company. He was working in one of the mines or power plants there in Colstrip in the maintenance department. I think he was over the maintenance department while he was doing all this. So it's just a pretty cool story of a guy that had a great idea, executed on it, and built a company out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so elk was the very first decoy. Do you remember the very first decoy itself? Like, was it the rear end, which I want to talk about that here in a second, the rear end of the elk, or like, do you know?
It was like a broadside one.
Okay.
And there's kind of one we still have in the line called the RMEF elk, which a proceed of that goes back to the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation.
Yep.
It was kind of that broadside pose with the head turned, looking kind of towards you when you're looking at the decoy.
Yep. And that's pretty interesting that something like that, right? You look at all the other decoys that are out on the market, right? And the first decoy I ever used, you had to take the legs off. You would stuff the legs in the, you know, you stuff the legs in the cavity of the body. You put a shoulder strap on. It's huge. It's bulky. It, you know, it makes a ton of noise as you're kind of walking through the two track to set it up in the cornfield to hopefully rattle in a buck or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I look at something like this and I go, that's awesome. But what is it about? Because then let's say you turn it the other way and it's a narrow strip of cloth and maybe some tent poles basically holding all of this together. What is it about these decoys that makes gets the attention on a singular, like on a 1D level?
So there's definitely a trade-off with that. We have photos and video of animals still trying to mount it, even though it has to disappear to them when they get behind it, right?
Right, right.
But it's you know, there's a lot going on there. I think you could argue, what I hear people and talk to people about, there's like two arguments to it. You want that side view, that profile, so you have that back body line that draws their eye, and then you've got the ears silhouetted, the head silhouetted, so it's almost, forget the detail of the print, it's almost the silhouette that starts the process of drawing them in, and then hopefully the detail comes in. Because you, as well as anybody, would know, you know, deer and elk, and they have a different bandwidth. That's probably not the right term, the way they look at things. So you're drawing their attention, and we don't really know exactly how they see it, but, you know, obviously the more realism you can dump into it, the better off you're going to be. And so we add to the whitetails a little motion with the tail and things like that. But it is a little bit of a trade-off to save all that weight and that noise and everything else you just mentioned. It is a two-dimensional decoy. You can conceivably take two of them and put them up in a T-shape. You'd still be carrying less weight than a regular hard-body decoy. But most of the time, you know, most people are just running with one and setting it up like that.
Right, absolutely. And I will tell you this. You do have 3D options in the turkey world. And to this day, that turkey decoy, which one was it? It was the perfect pair.
Yeah.
XD Ms. combo.
Perfect and Jake Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. Those are so convenient and awesome. And because what is it, like a spring in the center of them?
It's funny you mentioned that, Dan, because we're about to redo those. And
okay.
Guess what I have?
Let me see.
One of our first production products of the new one. Can I show it to you?
Yeah, go for it.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, Banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what's the whole network galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting. World of Other Worlds, for whatever you love. Infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, too athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace! To nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist! Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
So if you're listening to this on the audio, he's opening up a pack of what, a prototype or a new?
It's a production sample is what we call it. There's still some tweaks we're going to do to it, but it's made in the factory where we will build the rest of them. So this is the Jake, and you'll notice he's got a molded head on it.
Yep.
Got that eye shine to it. And you're right. I always tell people it's like a reverse slinky, and I know everybody that's listening can't see this.
It's like an accordion.
It's just like a reverse slinky. Yeah. Accordion, yeah.
Yep.
I could put a yelper inside there. We could start calling with them somehow. But the thing that has always made our decoy special to me is, number one, it folds up and it carries, and I'm a little bit of a minimalist, so I can put, you know, three decoys in my vest, and I don't have to carry an extra bag or anything. So we've got the molded head that you can move because of the wire built inside of it. You can really dial in that pose. And our previous models didn't have the molded head. We've gotten our printing much better. And we used to have two leg pole sleeves in the body. So one was forward for feeding, one was back for more upright. And of course, the hen you could set on the ground for a breeding pose. But what we've done now is we've redesigned our leg pole so that it has a magnet in it. And there's only one leg pole hole or sleeve in the bottom of it. And it attaches to the wire inside. There's a little notch on the top of the leg pole. So you can really dial this thing in to exactly the pose you want. It's so much easier. We had some issues with those sleeves occasionally getting kinked up for guys, and we'd have to fix them for them.
Yeah.
So we made it simpler. It's faster. It's got a molded head. I don't know if you've ever heard of a wildlife artist named Ryan Kirby, but he
100%.
He's a great guy out of North Carolina, and he painted the original heads we used for our production run comparisons or quality control or whatever for both the hen and the Jake. So I'm really proud to be working with him. He's just a genuinely good dude. But we've made a lot of improvements on these, made them better, made them more user-friendly, and made them more realistic. So
realistic.
That's really the first time I've ever shown that to anybody outside of our circle. So
yeah, that's a very detailed head. That's
Thank
a
you.
Really detailed head. That I will be honest, that first run and the printed head just didn't look, you know.
Yeah, every time you build something as a manufacturer, and you know this, there's like, you get it, you mess with it for a year or two, and you're like, man, I really want to make this better. I really want to do, you know, how can I fix this?
And
it's an ever-evolving thing.
Yep, absolutely. And look at what came of it, a better version coming. Like, when do you expect that to be hit the shelves?
I think we will have those in inventory and on dealer shelves January of 26, so real soon.
Perfect. So we'll have it for spring 26.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
If we don't, you'll probably be talking to somebody else at Montana Decoy.
Uh-oh, little weight on the shoulders.
I feel it, man. I feel it.
So I'll just from user experience, those turkey decoys are badass, man. Absolutely
Thank
love
you.
those folding ones and being able to compact that down. And I believe I also have the Fanatic, maybe I don't have this. I thought I have the Fanatic Reaper decoy, but
you might have the Wiley Tom 3D one. Is it 3D or 2D?
It's 3D.
Yeah, so you have the Wiley Tom one that has a chest piece that goes on a back piece. You can run it as 2D or 3D.
Yep. I think I have that one as well. And so that one's I don't reap turkeys, but I setting that thing up, that looks pretty sweet. I like you know what I like about that decoy is that it is a little smaller than an actual turkey in full strut. So therefore it looks smaller and the other toms see it. And I think they look at it just from the size alone and go, I could beat that guy up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you. And to my knowledge, ours is the only decoy on the market that you put individual feathers. If you want to, it's printed, but you put individual feathers into that tail fan and it will still fold up. So that's pretty cool tactic. And Jerry, that was all Jerry's brainchild right there. And a guy named Tom Wiley helped us with that. And that's why it's called the Wiley Tom. He's one of our sales reps in the Southeast.
Yeah. That looks, that it's a pretty awesome, cause I don't know about you, but I have a ton of turkey fans just laying around. Like I don't mount every turkey, but I'll do the fans and the beards and I'll just lay them somewhere. And so I got a stack of turkey fans that I have used over the years and put them in there for the realistic, so it looks realistic. But then at the same time, like, then the wind crushes them, or I leave them in my truck too long and just put the backup fan in and throw the other one away.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure. What are some of the newer products? Or let me ask you this. What are some of Montana decoys, bread and butter, most popular decoys across all species?
So, you know, I would say with the name like Montana Decoy, you know, elk and antelope have always been our wheelhouse. That's probably okay. Where our volume lies mostly. We had a few years there in the turkey boom where we were selling a pile of turkeys. But that turkey market with populations declining and all the stuff going on with the resource itself, not just the manufacturing side of it, it seems to be tightening up a lot from my perspective. And I hear other people talking about that. So turkeys aren't the boom or bust they used to be for us. They're certainly not a bust now, but definitely elk and antelope, I think, are what most people, certainly most of our customers that live west of the Mississippi, tend to think of us for. But we do sell, you know, a little bit of everything: deer, antelope. We have a Sitka deer, we have elk, we have mule deer, we have all this stuff. But I think if you ask me what's the brand known for, it's definitely elk and antelope, because that's the elk's where he started with. So
yeah. All right, here comes the question about this one particular elk product that I'm very intrigued about, and that is the Backcountry Elk, and it's just the rear end of that. Is there any, like, tell me the reasoning behind just having the rear end of an elk as a decoy?
So that decoy especially is an interesting one for us, because it was a little bit of a departure. And most of our decoys are two pieces of fabric put together. Yeah. That one's a single piece of fabric. It has a smaller wire inside of it, and it only has one leg pole. It was straight up a design to build the lightest weight decoy that would still have enough size to be effective as a standalone, I go stick it up somewhere. Right. So it was built to be lightweight. And that rear end pose, rump pose, we used to have one in the line years ago that was just, we're great at naming stuff. It was called the Elk Rump.
Yep.
And we did really well with it, but we always felt the realism of it could be improved, and it just needed a little something. And it kind of phased out of the program out of our line for a while. And Jerry and I talking, and, you know, we wanted to build a lighter weight one that just really would take up absolutely no space in your pack and absolutely no weight on your back. And that was where that one came from. And we feel like that, you know, you're looking at the rump, or the elk is looking at the rump as it comes up. So it's a little bit of indecision there. You know, is it a bull? Is it a big bull? Is it a small bull? Is it a cow? He's got to close to see what that is. And is it going away from him? It's not coming to him. So you're imparting a sense of, I need to catch up with that to see what's going on up there.
All right.
That's the thinking behind it. And, you know, we could go get two of your buddies. I get two of my buddies, and we'd get four different opinions on, you know, who wants what out of their decoy. And I like a broadside pose. I like a head up. I like the head down. So we're almost forced to, you know, offer a variety just to meet what somebody feels like they need or want for their particular hunt. And somebody looking for, like, I don't really want to carry any extra weight. I'm going way back in there. I'm living off my back. That's the decoy I would send to them. Those are the guys that are drilling holes in their spoons to save weight, you know?
Yeah, right, right. And this is where I say, I had a really good conversation with you earlier this week about some decoying strategy on the Western Rookie podcast that we launched this week. And so it makes perfect sense on how you elk hunt from a strategy standpoint and a calling standpoint of why you would have the rear end of an elk with no head and just the printed butt of an elk kind of going away, and then maybe moving the collar back away as well. And the bull sees it and he goes, well, I got to go check that out, 'cause it's going away from me. I got to get her back here, or something like that. And
a little sense of urgency.
Making it a sense of urgency too. So, you know, after you saying that, it makes a lot of sense. Let's see.
I would probably tell you the number one question that I get from consumers is, hey, I'm going on an elk hunt. Which decoy do I need? I see you make too many. I can't decide which one do I need. Yep. And I always try to figure out, you know, what, what type of hunter are they? Mm-hmm. You know, is it really early in the season and they're going to be hunting water holes or wallows or feed sources? You know, if it's a private land hunt and there's a lot of alfalfa planted, or are they, you know, super in shape and going deep? And you kind of take all that information and try to make, you know, the best suggestion for them. And a lot of times I think it comes down to not how well the decoy is going to work, but the functionality of the decoy based on how they hunt. You know, if they're not worried about weight because they're, you know, not backpacking in or something, then, you know, bigger may give you more visibility.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It's always a trade-off.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so the antelope, it looks like there's a couple antelope options as well. You mentioned it in the last podcast we did, but kind of run through, like, I know that there are a lot of guys, and I mean a lot of guys, who are using decoys for antelope. What is it about your antelope decoys that actually makes it easy to use, movable, mobile, when you're trying to get within shooting range of an antelope?
So the hallmarks of our company are always photorealism, lightweight, and packability. So everything is going to be built off an actual photo of wild animal. It's going to be portable in a sense that it folds, like, you know, our 3D turkeys fold different than our antelope decoys, but they both still fold. And they're all going to collapse in a way that makes them much easier to pack. So a guy can, you know, if you're covering a lot of ground in a truck glassing, then the decoy can stay in the back of the truck with the leg poles in it, and you throw your pack on top of it so it doesn't blow off. You're probably going to get everything dusty, but you could do that. And then if you're, you know, slipping around with your pack on, you got the decoy shoved in your pack, you can quickly take it out and put it together.
Yep.
And we offer, you know, antelope, I've told you on your Western Rookie podcast, it's like one of my favorite animals in the world just to look at, not only to eat, but they're just such a unique animal in the early part of the season. You know, when it opens in August in a lot of places, people are hunting around water holes. Typically, that's how you do it. So you might buy that combo that comes with the doe, and it's more of a confidence decoy around a water hole than it's really drawing an antelope in to interact with the other antelope. It's just like, okay, antelope are there, it must be safe.
Right.
So you're kind of at that confidence decoy, and you know, you can add the buck to it. It's got a smaller buck because you're, you know, with the buck decoy, you're playing that challenge game of he's out there, he's trying to take my does away. So the buck you're wanting to shoot is going to kind of hopefully come and attempt to run him off. And that's where it comes into the rut. Now, we have two different bucks. We've got the antelope buck, which you can get as a standalone, or you can get it as part of that combo we talked about. But we also make one called the Eichler Elk. We do a lot of stuff with Fred Eichler. He's a great guy. He probably hunts as much as anybody I've ever met. And so we wanted to build something that was a little more, I don't want to say dialed in, I can't think of the right word, but we want to add a few more features in it, but it's definitely, all that stuff always raises the price point no matter what you do. So the Eichler antelope has a screen, where you mesh screen where you can actually look through the decoy. You don't have to go above or to the side of it to see around it. And it also comes with a quick stand, which allows you to put the leg poles in. It secures the poles and it holds them in place, and it secures the decoy to the poles, to the base. So you literally can grab that thing with one hand, run around with it, and then when you get where you're going, you just step in on it to put it in the ground so it stays in place.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're just carrying one of our decoys, you know, the leg poles can move, doesn't hurt anything, but you're going to have to individually put those leg poles in the ground if you want to stake it out, where that just really lets you handle it with one hand. Makes it a little bit easier to run as a bow hunter if you're a solo guy doing all that stuff. But, you know, all that comes in a package. So you kind of have premium package and then a more affordable package, I guess, with just the regular antelope buck.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing I like about these is you can really be mobile in your pursuit. Like, it's definitely the thought process behind these is made for a Western hunter who is doing spot and stalk type hunting.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Bow hunting is like, you know, we definitely sell stuff to gun hunters, especially turkey decoys, a lot of shotgun hunters out there. But I feel like our customer is most likely a bow hunter. And, you know, you're going for antelope. Not that you couldn't take a decoy on a rifle hunt, you know, be safe with it, whatever. But it's really geared for getting animals closer. That's the purpose of a decoy. So,
right. Right.
And, you know, a lot of times I think I told you, like, you know, you pop that decoy up, you know, a lot of times the scenario is you're wanting to bring a buck over that's protecting a harem. But sometimes you just need 6 seconds to be able to draw, settle in and shoot. And that decoy will hold that animal. So, if, you know, you come over the rise with the decoy, that gives you a second to hit that anchor and make that shot. Whereas you just come over and try and shoot, even if you're already at full draw, you know, they see you, they're gone. But if they see the decoy, you're just buying time to make the shot at that point.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. What is one of your most popular deer decoys?
So we always sell more bucks than does. And two that are always neck and neck are, we have a combo called the Dream Team that has a whitetail buck and a doe.
Yep.
And then we also have a freshman buck. Mm-hmm. And on any given year, it usually seems to be one of those two. But the dreamy doe that's in the combo, you can buy it separately. So it's a little bit skewed on the math with that from our standpoint of how much of a volume seller they are. But it seems like most deer hunters want to gravitate towards a buck. I see that changing a little bit. We're starting to sell more and more does every year. Yeah. It seems like their first thought is always a buck. Now, my favorite deer decoy is the one called Trixie, because the pose on it to me is just love the way the decoy looks. And I love that it's broadside, so you get a little bit bigger visual with it. And we've got one of our teaser tails that comes with it, which gives it a little bit of motion. And if you like to use scent, you can put it on the tail. And then at the end of the year, toss that tail and buy you another one for the next year. So you're decoy and getting ripe sitting in your garage for a whole off season.
Right.
And I've had good luck with that decoy in Alabama and, you know, Midwest. Just sometimes you just gravitate towards what works for you. I can't really explain why that one's worked better for me than others, but it was one Jerry and I worked on for a couple of years and just really appeals to me, the look, the detail of it. Our printing really got better with that decoy than some of the others, I think.
So. Yeah. And the cool part about the printing process is when you add the detail in the printing process, you do start to see a 3D look to it.
Yes. Good point. Good point. Yeah.
So the more detailed the printing, the better. I mean, the more 3D, and then it starts to play a dual role, right? It's not just easy and lightable, but it's also, it looks 3D, which, you know, we can sit here and debate the intelligence of these animals all day long, but if it looks like a duck, it is a duck, right? You know what I mean? It's one of those things. So,
And I run a decoy company, and I still have where I'm set up in the woods and your mind drifts to something else and you look around and the decoy's right there.
Yeah.
It makes you, just for that little bit, you know, you feel like a big old idiot.
I
literally have an elk decoy that a guy shot and he sent it to me and wrote me a nice letter. And I've probably told you that story 100 times, but he set it up on a little hill and he did a little walk around, came over the hill, thought it was a cow elk, and he had a cow tag and shot it.
Man, either your products are really good or that guy needs glasses, right?
I'm taking the high side. Yeah,
exactly.
Either way, it's a great story though.
Exactly. Talk to me a little bit about what material and the printing process that goes in to make the realism.
The material has always kind of stayed the same. It's like a poly cotton blend. The printing process has evolved. You know, it used to be just this old school roller dye sublimation type scenario. And, you know, as you would do a run, the front end of that run versus the tail end of that run, there might be some differences as the colors start fading and the molds and everything. But the way we've got it dialed in now, we have a much better level of consistency. Yeah. But it's also much more detail. So like, you know, you go out and take a picture of, I don't care what, if you wanted me to build a decoy of a donkey in a pasture, we've done that literally.
Yeah.
So we can build whatever and you'll be amazed at the detail and the way that thing looks compared to the original picture or the animal in the field. We have to make some modifications mm-hmm. you know, just to make the leg poles work and maybe move the head a touch left or right to get it dialed in for the plastic that's in the head. But it's an amazing process and how far it's come just in my short time of really having to deal with it. Printing just keeps getting better and better. It's printing for paper, and paper goes away, the printing of detail on fabrics and other stuff. I mean, you look at the way camo patterns are printed on fleece garments and stuff now. It's right. just amazing to me what we're capable of.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Explain to me the idea and the method of Bessie the Moo Cow and Big Red Moo Cow Decoy.
So that's one of those, no matter what I do, I can't win. Like we originally had a black Moo Cow in the line. And back then that printing, like I was telling you, it wasn't as good as it is now. And, and that black would bleed into like a, purplish bluish shine or something. Mm-hmm. We just struggled with it. And so for all those years of having a black Moo Cow in the line, we kept having folks wanting a red one in the line. So at a certain point we switched because we realized we could print the red one better anyway. So, and we'd been getting all these requests for it. So we go and build the red one, and you know, immediately people start wanting a black one.
Then. Right.
So that's why we did the Bessie in black and then the Big Red Moo Cow in red. And now you could argue, well, we need a spotted cow too, because I got those where I hunt, and we can address that. We have a custom decoy shop that we build stuff. Any number of things. I mean, we built mountain lions, buffalo, donkeys, African game, all kind of stuff. So if you got a pasture with a big old antelope buck in it, but all your cows look weird, we can build you a decoy for them. We just need a picture.
Yeah.
But the design behind that was, it's just we call it a stalking shield, a confidence decoy, whatever you want. And you just, you know, if you got a big wide open space and you can't get across it without spooking animals that aren't in range, then, you know, you pop out your Big Red to slide across there without alarming them. Bessie is a facing pose. So, you know, it's kind of like you're going at them, trying to get in range to get a bow shot with that, where Big Red's more of a broadside pose.
Yeah. Have you ever shot an elk or antelope or any other animal?
I used to do this hunt in Nebraska for mule deer. We had a blast using those things out there. And it's, you know, we're trying to video it. So, you know, you've got one guy with a decoy, the bow hunter, and then you got the guy behind you filming it. So that's a lot of stuff going on that you're trying to hide behind the decoy. And there might have been a miss involved when I was the bow hunter with it, and I can't fault my decoy for that, but it's a ton of fun, and it's just another tool to put in your toolbox, is kind of how I like saying it. And you know, Absolutely. A decoy is not going to work every time, and grunt calls don't either, or anything else does. It's just, you know, this situation, you know, you're sitting there and you're like, man, if I had this, we try to make that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have any warranties on your products at all?
So we do have like a standard manufacturer's warranty, but man, I'm going to tell you, people can, you know, like, hey, I've had my decoy for 10 years and the stitching ripped on it. Can you fix it? Yeah, we'll fix it for you. Send it to us.
Yeah.
So it's a very, very loose in favor of the customer, because like we were talking about earlier, man, I want a guy to be thrilled with the product he gets, and I'm wanting to be thrilled with the service he gets. You know, I want him to feel like a friend of the company.
Exactly. Exactly. Do you have a memorable decoying story that you could share with us to kind of round out this episode?
Yeah. So this would have been, this is kind of what prompted me to really like the whole Montana decoy thing. This was when I was still working for another company.
Yep.
And I had gotten one of the Dreamy Does, which is still in our line. And I'm hunting here in South Carolina, which is where I'm from. And I had it set up in front of me, you know, facing away, hoping if a deer saw it, he comes up behind it. And you know, no one I know at this point has ever used decoys in South Carolina. It's a, you know, we're against it. It's only going to spook them. It's too much stuff to carry, all that. So, and I just wanted to try it out. And I had this buck pop out, and it was just such a great experience, because there was a lane going away from me this way, and it's planted pines that are thinned, and I'm on a little strip of hardwood, and this buck pops out, and just to see his reaction, I wish I would have been filming, but like he just comes out walking, and you can tell the minute he sees that doe decoy, he just like stops and locks, and like his whole demeanor just changes, and he starts walking towards me, and he makes two scrapes on the way. And he comes up to the doe, and the place I was hunting, my buddy owns it, and you know, we weren't shooting anything less than a 3 or 4 year old, and this deer had to be only a 2 year old.
Yeah.
But he comes up to it and he stares at it broadside, and then he's going to go around behind it like he's going to try to mount it, and it kind of disappears to him like we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
And he hops off, but he comes back. And then he hops off, and he does that like 3 or 4 times. And I wanted to shoot that deer so bad, but I knew my buddy would kill me, and I wasn't going to do what he didn't want me to do. But that deer hung around so long, and when he finally was like, okay, she's not interested in me or something's not right here, when he starts drifting off, he doesn't just turn and run. He drifts off, looks back, drifts off, looks back, hits that scrape one last time, looks back again, like seeing if that changed anything. And then he walks off. And at that point, it was kind of like, man, that was just a great experience. You know, I would not have, maybe I could have grunted that deer up and shot him or got him close enough. But, you know, having that decoy, you just see an interaction that you wouldn't normally see. It was just super cool. And so I always kind of put that in the back of my mind. And years later, got the opportunity to work with him and do more stuff with him. It was just a win-win for me. And that's kind of how my career has always been like, you know, before I make a change, I need some personal tie to it or some, you know, not just out of the blue, hey, here's a job offer, you want to go do this kind of thing for me. And I killed a turkey. This has only been a couple years ago. I wanted to kill a turkey with my stick bow off the ground, no blind. And I had still kind of roughly prototyping what we're using now. I had those, the hen and the Jake, set up. And I don't know what your turkeys are like in Iowa, and if they're really good, I'll be putting in a tag and showing up at your door. But our turkey population is declining. You know, places that I've hunted since I was a kid that I would hear turkeys on, it's been years since I've even seen a turkey on. But one of those blessed mornings, turkey gobbles, we get set up, and man, he just comes right down this logging road, sees the decoy, and I had to sit with my back to him, so my shot is here off to my left, and I can't see him coming, but I can hear, he gets so close, I can hear his feathers dragging, and he is so locked onto those decoys that he never even noticed me draw, and I actually was able to hit him, which is even more shocking than anything else. So those two hunts for me, I've killed elk with the elk decoys, antelope with the antelope decoys, but those two stand out to me, probably because growing up in the South, I was a turkey hunter, and a bow hunter is kind of what I started out and where my passion lies, I guess.
Right.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Who's Montana Decoy's demographic?
I think it's a bow hunter. I think, you know, I would have told you a few years ago it was definitely older, but I see a lot of younger people starting to gravitate towards them. And I think this move to being more mobile as deer hunters, I really like that. You know, for me, mobile growing up was I had a big clunky climbing stand that I would tote around in the woods. And now I'm using a saddle with a platform and it all fits in my day pack so easily. I think our decoys just kind of carry that mentality on. I think we've benefited from that. You know, like guys that do that, and they don't have to be young, but I think that's a younger demographic. Guys with all this in their beard don't typically go 30 foot up trees anymore. So
that's right.
I think it's kind of synonymous with lightweight and detail and another tactic you can use. And a lot of those folks, you know, you kind of have to have a eye for gear stuff if you're getting into that saddle game and figuring all that stuff out.
Yeah.
And I'm a little bit of a gear nut to be a minimalist, but like I spent yesterday at a dealer not too far from me looking at all the new packs that were out from some of the saddle companies. It's just interesting what people are doing and the designs they're building.
Exactly.
And I need another pack. Like I need a hole in my head.
But that's right. That's a fact. My, there's an area in my garage. Well, I have two of these areas. One is in my office and one is in my garage of, I just call it the shit I don't use corner, but I don't ever throw it away or sell it or give it away. It's just like, well,
as you do, what's going to happen?
You're going to need it.
You're going to go back and look for it. Exactly. Oh, that would have worked great for this.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. If we want to send people somewhere to check out Montana Decoy, where do you want to send them?
You go to our website, montanadecoy.com. We're on Facebook and Instagram as well. And obviously we have a great dealer network. I'd love for you to frequent and check them out in the dealer shops too.
Absolutely. Mr. Davis, appreciate your time. Thank you very much for taking time out of your day to educate us on Montana Decoy. Good luck this upcoming season, man. And I hope you put an arrow through something big.
Me too, man. Me too. Thanks for giving me the time. I really do appreciate it.
USAA knows dynamic duos can save the day, like superheroes and sidekicks, or auto and home insurance. With USAA, you can bundle your auto and home and save up to 10%. Tap the banner to learn more and get a quote at usaa.com/bundle. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.